Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. I hope you're having a good week. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
Well, welcome. Now, we've got a set of topics that we're going to go through. Who knows what sequence we're going to go in, but go for it, Mary.
We're going to talk about protecting the rights of American citizens. We're going to talk about Trump's visit to McDonald's.
It's renamed Donald's.
We're going to talk about Ukraine. We're going to talk about California versus America. We're going to talk about the number of voters in North Carolina who've turned out to vote. We're going to talk about a statement made by President Biden that he wanted to lock Trump up. We're going to talk about a statement made by Bob Woodward. And we're going to talk about border crossings and TGI Fridays. And we're going to start with citizenship, Alan.
Thank you, Mary. I was thinking about this when I read the constitutional amendment that's on the ballot this year. This is a constitutional amendment for the state. And it basically is to clarify and make sure that only citizens can vote in all elections. Right now, the way the law is written, only citizens can vote in federal elections, but the language about whether a non-citizen can vote in a municipal or county election is kind of not as definitive as it needs to be, and that's what the purpose of that. So if anybody believes that only citizens should be allowed to vote in any election in North Carolina, then they need to check. They need to vote for. They need to color in the
four.
It says four. You're going to be for that amendment, not against it. Anyway,
but so this is to clarify something.
Yeah, it's to clarify and make sure that the language is not subject to being challenged in court or misinterpreted, or you know how the left manages. They'll look for any way to change something. But it started me thinking about some of the other rights and privileges we give to non-citizens. You know, you get to the point where if you give non-citizens everything that citizens can get, then why should anybody become a citizen? And that's basically what we're dealing with now. For example, social services, access to social services, welfare, food stamps. They don't call it food stamps anymore. But anyway, those services, you don't have to be a citizen.
And in some cities, they're getting free hotel rooms in luxury hotels, plus meal cards, maid service, and everything else, where Americans have to pay for that.
Absolutely.
You know, I just wanted to add, I was reading an article, and now I'm trying to think of where the article was, but in schools, in high schools around the area, that now that a huge percentage of folks are coming from other countries, they're zeroing in on teaching ESL, English as a second language, and zero in on teaching those folks at the detriment of the kids that are paying the tax bill for those schools.
Absolutely. I heard in some places the illegals are up to 25-30% of the school population.
And they speak all different.
It's not like they all speak one language. So you could, you know, kind of focus on, you know, they come from multiple countries. They speak all these different languages. But the other thing I was thinking about, I saw that video about that incident in Aurora where they showed the Mexican gangs with the guns, the Venezuelan gangs coming in, and they were kicking down doors and taking over the apartment building. And I saw them with their firearms, and so I really think that we ought to strongly consider allowing firearms only for citizens. If you're not a citizen, if you're found in possession of a firearm, you're immediately deported, and you can never apply for to come back to this country.
Now, I'd be afraid of that, because I would be afraid that that would be a camel's nose under the tent into getting rid of the Second Amendment. Well, if non-citizens can't have guns, who else can we decide can't have guns?
Criminals can't have guns.
Right.
They all have guns.
And they all know that they're illegal.
If you make illegals criminals, they'll still have guns. So I don't see the point.
But it does give a mechanism
if it's
that
enforced.
They immediately deport them.
if it's enforced.
If they're found with them. And it does at least give the anybody who a decent prosecutor that would want to use that as a reason to deport somebody. I mean, we've got these people running around with guns, and you know, they're gonna. The other thing I think we need to stop, and that's this anchor baby law. The idea that anyone born in this country is immediately a citizen, even the child of an illegal, that should not be allowed.
That's
if you're
not
here,
a law.
If you're, pardon?
That's not a law. It's a reading by the Supreme
Well, that's
Court.
What I'm saying. So we ought to make it into a constitutional
amendment. We ought to unread it.
To make it so they can't reinterpret it.
The DACA reading, yeah.
Yeah, you're losing the country. They invade you, and then the children of these people who invade you become citizens automatically if they have a bunch of kids. And they're having more children than we are.
And then they
the
use
citizen,
the family the thing rate. To give citizenship to the parents.
Yeah, so a lot of this stuff, but the point I'm trying to make is that citizenship should be a valuable entity. And as a citizen, you should have certain privileges and rights that you don't have as a non-citizen. And that's what I believe should happen. Those are some examples. There's probably others that we need to take a
look. It's interesting to me that when the country first began, the only people who could vote were property owners.
Men.
Well, men
women
who
couldn't own property. So only property owners meant only men.
Yeah, and they were their vote was supposed to represent their family.
Right.
Because you didn't have the single parents we have today, and you didn't have women supporting families. It was a whole different
Not
culture.
In general. Mm-hmm.
And I guess the idea was that people who were landowners, that they had a vested interest, more of a vested interest,
as citizens,
in the direction of the country than people who were just floating in and out and coming in and out may not even be.
As citizens have a more vested interest in the country than people who are here illegally. And we need to recognize that and protect it.
Well, I know sometimes my ideas, people look at it and say, well, we can't do that, we can't do this. My philosophy is, if you believe it's the right thing for the country, you try it. You do what you can to get it. If you fail, fine. But this stuff about you present an idea and then you get 10 reasons we can't do it. That's not my philosophy.
I want to take a minute and talk about McDonald's.
And I said it's just Donald's. It's no longer McDonald's. It's just
and I love
Donald's.
That.
Or Magadonald's.
Magadonald's, yes.
How about a Maga burger?
Uh-huh. I like that.
I think the gift that Donald Trump has that Kamala does not have is to be able to relate to the average person. He may be very rich, which he is, but somehow he has managed to remain human and not remain an elitist. And I don't understand how that happened, but I think it's kind of nice.
I think Elon Musk is on that same level. I don't think,
yes,
even though he's a genius and we all regard him as a genius, beside the fact that he's the richest man on the planet, but the fact that he's a genius, when he's been appearing with Trump, jumping up and down on the stage, mm-hmm, I mean, he acts like a regular person.
They carry on as regular folks. They're not self, well, I mean, I'm going to say Trump acts at times self-involved, but he's trying just to relate to people, and I know that they're just having fun up there on the stage.
Well, you either have that touch or you don't.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when you hear people who get to know Donald Trump from a standpoint of some closer interaction than you get just seeing him on the stage. Universally, they say he's a great guy and he listens to people and he seems to be. And if you look at his background, why is he that way? When he was growing up, and his, I believe his father was in the construction business.
Yes.
And they were dealing a lot with the workers, with the union workers and the people on construction sites. So I think that gave him, he wasn't in some elite room playing with his computer somewhere. He was actually interacting with people, and I think that probably contributed to his overwhelming humanity is how people see him.
Alan, to that point, I know that we know a number of people. I'm going to generalize. We know a number of people that have developed philosophies in a strictly academic environment, that they're setting limitations on the academic environment. I know that when Donald Trump had to work in New York City to construct a building or do whatever else, and I know this from working in a recording studio in New York and working with unions to try to develop this, where you had to have one union come in to knock a hole in the wall, another union to go and put a pipe through the wall, and then a third union to come in and close that wall up, and then a fourth union or an inspector to come in to inspect what was done. He knows how to deal with all of those bureaucratic.
You said, Bob, he was exposed to a variety of different things, whereas, like you're mentioning about college, like college university professors, they're in a little enclave. Who do they associate with? They associate with other college professors. I mean, I taught at a college. I know what happens. And that's how they operate. They're not out really interacting with the general population. No.
But to get back to McDonald's and Donald Trump working the fryer, the frying station.
Boy, I think that made the Democrats so mad.
And tell us what has happened as a result of that. We know this is just an incredible coincidence, but tell us what happened.
We don't believe in coincidences. Right after Trump's McDonald's visit, the CDC decided to come out and announce that McDonald's has a breakout of E. coli in their quarter pounders, and their stock fell 9.1%.
My goodness, what a coincidence.
It's all Trump's fault.
And do we have any evidence to show that that claim is valid?
CDC.
Oh.
You can believe them as much as you believe any government agency.
We're from the government. We're here to help you.
That's right.
So we should all go out and buy some McDonald's hamburgers.
Right? Well, I found another article. McDonald's, a college job and a Trump attack. Trump has claimed without evidence that Harris never worked at the fast food chain. But I love it when they do said without evidence.
There's no evidence she did.
That was going to be my point.
Right.
Yeah, they have it. In fact, McDonald's announced that they had some person who keeps track of all the personnel that have ever worked at McDonald's, and they could not find any evidence that she had ever worked at any McDonald's.
And the one person who says that she did is a paid staffer who's visited the White House multiple times. But again, that's just an incredible coincidence.
And by the way, one of the McDonald's owners gave the Donald a certified fryer pin, so he is known as a fryer. Sure. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you have some information on North Carolina.
Yeah, I just want to tag along to Alan's point about the constitutional amendment that's on our early voting or on our ballot for this election about whether you're for or against only citizens, American citizens, being allowed to vote. I downloaded an article on how many North Carolinians have voted as of yesterday. 463,913 Republicans, 483,075 Democrats, others 434,174 for a total of 1,000,003. Almost 1,000,004.
And now I'm going to localize that into Craven County. And Craven County has 68,219 eligible active voters. And as of yesterday, which would be Tuesday, we're recording on Wednesday, as of yesterday, 17,571 have already voted in some factor. That is a full 25% in Craven County.
Well, there's so many people voting early downtown that I had to drive to Havelock over lunch to vote down there. They didn't have a line.
And this business about, I worked the polls on Monday down at Craven Street, which is one of the main early voting sites. And the lines were ridiculously long. People were waiting an hour, 15 minutes, an hour and a half to get in to vote. And there's really no excuse for that. They should have known, the Board of Election, I'm talking about who they is, the Board of Election, they should have known it and anticipated what has been encouraged for the voters, that is, there would be heavier voting in the early voting. They did not. Had the same mechanism in place they've had in other years. And it really makes you wonder why they don't look at the length of the lines in some way of trying to correct it. It's like, well, you know, you've got to stand out here an hour and a half in the sun, so that's okay with us. And you know, there is things they could do. There are some things they could have more backup people working in the polls. The other thing they could do is, and I don't know how the politicians would feel about this. It wasn't until 2014 that they stopped the ability to vote the entire party, straight party. Up till 2014 in North Carolina, you could vote straight party ticket. So you go to the top of the ballot and you just, you know, darken in that oval and that's your straight. Now what they'd make you do is you got to go down, even though you want to vote for every Democrat or you want to vote for every Republican, they make you go down and check out every one of those things, and that adds to the line. And it's totally unnecessary, in my opinion.
Well, Alan, part of the problem is that they've got to find workers to staff all these early voting sites. And evidently, that's not as easy as it sounds.
But that's not the issue. I know a lot of people, including my wife, that she's out of town now, but isn't queued up to do any early voting, best I can tell. There are people qualified and able to support the process.
Well, you look at
least some of them haven't been tagged to help. The other thing is, I don't know, that may help the straight ticket thing, but I think the bottleneck in what I've observed is the registration, and there's typically only like Some of these early votings was only one in Vanceboro. There was only, you know, instead of having two.
That's
or
what I mean.
Because I don't think the cubby for voting is the bottleneck.
No.
That's not the bottleneck. The bottleneck's the registration.
This is typical of the government. It's like DMV. You go down there, you get your license, you got to stand in line for 2 hours, 3 hours. The government doesn't care about solving the problem. Now, if you have a problem, you can't get enough help, what do you do? What would an entrepreneur do?
Pay more.
Increase the salary. Make it more attractive. Do something about the works environment or whatever. The problem could be solved if you want to solve it. The problem is they don't care how long the lines are because they're not judged in any way by it.
There are no consequences.
That little room that they have the two or three ladies in when you go into the downtown thing, there's the bottleneck. Why use that little room? Use a bigger room. Have more people.
Yeah.
Get them through there.
It can be done,
but, yep, you know, it's just easier for the people that work there to walk down the hall to that little room instead of serving the public.
I'm going to bring up the old Navy phrase, 200 years of tradition unhampered by progress.
Okay, so. That's our United States Navy.
Okay, that's the name.
We had gone the first day of voting, and we went to West Craven, and the line was an hour long. And we were told not to go downtown because the line there was an hour and a half long. And we wound up going to Havelock, and we wound up waiting about a half hour, which I didn't think was unreasonable.
Well, my advice to anybody that hasn't voted yet, the slowest time, what I mean by slowest, the least amount of time you have to wait in the line, is between 6 and 7:30. You go there
in the morning?
In the evening.
Oh.
You go there in the evening, the line, by 6:15, 6:30 on Monday, there were like 10 people in line, where throughout the day, there were 60, 70 people lined up in the same place.
Right.
So, you know, that's something that, you know, people might want to consider when they go to vote.
I'll just say, I think we've hit the curve's coming down because I was at West New Bern for a little bit in between things before I came here, and they don't have hardly any line there today. I mean, people are going in and out in 15, 20 minutes. That was, you know, 2 o'clock today. So I think the trend line is coming down on volume.
Yeah, the one other thing that I'm gonna add to this is, folks, go out and do your homework and find out where the candidates stand. You remember, this is a time to vote for policies, not to vote for personalities. Just and find out where they stand on issues. And
well, we have a questionnaire up at cctaxpayers.com, do we not?
We do.
And you want to talk about that a minute?
I asked a number of candidates 6 generic questions and 2 more specific to the office that they're running for, and we've posted the answers that we've got back. And by the way, I also posted a list of the people that didn't answer. So if you care to see who is willing to get back to you versus who is not willing, it's there, warts and all.
And it's also posted at the God and Country Christian Alliance website.
Our website is cctaxpayers.com, and then just look for the general election 2024.
I'm going to toss something in that maybe you fit 10 minutes ago, but Tulsi Gabbard, I guess, has officially changed to Republican, and that just happened.
Yes, that happened last night.
So that's significant. She's out on the campaign trail. And I have a lot of respect for her. And actually, on Clay and Buck show, they're saying, well, they promoted her to be Secretary of State.
But she has been a Trump supporter for a while, but she left the Democrat Party because they left her. And she hadn't come over to the Republican Party. And I saw her last night, and I don't remember what she gave as her reasoning, but she just felt like it better fit her ideas of what America should be.
Well, it's the Constitution, you know, First Amendment, Second Amendment. It's freedom. I mean, it's all the basics.
And they're policy issues. They're basic policy.
She says, I don't agree with everything, with everybody, but on the main things, she's on it.
And she's a veteran.
Yes.
She is a veteran.
Well, maybe that'll make up or balance this Liz Cheney traitor to the Republican Corps. She's going out there. And it was interesting. They had a little blurb on the TV the other night, and they were showing what Liz Cheney's beliefs used to be. It's just like Kamala, you know?
Yeah.
So she was in favor of all these things that were good conservative Republican things. And then now she's the exact opposite. It's, you know, it's this chameleon kind of approach.
Well,
to
you have to understand that Donald Trump is a threat to the military-industrial complex, which supports her and her father.
You also have to understand that with Liz, it's personal. And hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And she will never get over her TDS, ever.
But Donald Trump is a threat to the status quo. And a lot of what is going on legally and in other ways is because of that.
Including the fact that that President Biden said he belongs in jail for the next 14 days.
Yes, he said lock him up.
Then he backpedaled and said, what I meant was lock him out politically.
Yeah, sure. No, he said what he meant to start with.
Yeah, we know.
He just forgot that's what he meant.
He forgot that it slipped out. Yeah. I want to mention here that Trump tax plans, speaking of policy, could exempt 93 million Americans from income taxes. He's proposed eliminating taxes on tips, Social Security benefits, and said he would think about exemptions for firefighters, police, and military personnel.
Wow.
Experts say that he's proposing to make up the money with tariffs, and experts say the tariffs wouldn't cover the offset tax losses. But if you recall Trump's policy from his first term, he increased tax revenues by fixing the economy.
Right.
Yes.
As the economy grows, we have more taxes. So these experts probably never heard of the Laffer curve.
And when was the last time these experts were right?
Well, what excites me is there was somebody else on the TV that would be one of the people on Musk's teams for government efficiency.
Yes.
Now that's exciting, because you talk about finding some money. If you want to go in there and make our government efficient.
Musk said we have 487 state government agencies that only 90 of them are needed.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And Musk, as I'm going to say, as a quote individual, he's the one that landed a rocket on the, what is it, on the
chopsticks.
The Chinese chopsticks.
Yeah, he captured, the government's never been able to do that, but they've never had the incentive to do that.
They gave their money to DEI. Yeah.
That's right.
But the government doesn't have the incentive to recover a booster rocket, because they're the government.
And they sure don't have the incentive to be efficient and be smaller in size, because fiefdoms is what that's all about.
Yes.
So when you have a little fiefdom versus a big fiefdom. So
it's just not as much fun.
Well.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in Newbern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, Newbern.
Again, welcome back. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan.
Well, we were going to talk a little bit, I think, about the what's going on in the world with these two war zones we have, Russia, Ukraine, and then I think we have some comments about what's going on with Israel and Iran. And this Ukrainian thing is really heating up now, and it is a potential real explosion could happen there. I think it was the intelligence service from South Korea who identified that there were North Korean troops being sent to Russia to assist them in fighting this war against Ukraine. And at the same time, I believe it was last week, perhaps week before, Biden was communicating with Zelensky, because Zelensky, again, is wanting to have the permission to attack deeper into Russia with the rockets that we're giving him.
The U.S. rockets,
the
yes.
U.S. rockets that we're supplying. So there we got Russia, and now it's beginning to escalate. Now what's going to happen? We're going to potentially reconfirm that they're getting troops, Russia's getting troops from North Korea. So what are we going to do? Now, what's the NATO going to do? Are they going to turn around and start sending NATO troops in to fight on Ukraine's side? This could blow up, and this Trump keeps saying this is a potential World War III. And I see steps here that historically is how these wars get started, and they get out of control. And this is really scary, that what they're doing. So, you know, I hope to God that Trump gets elected, and because he's indicated that's going to be one of his first priorities, is to get that war stopped one way or the other. Because, like we were saying about the number of people who are dying, Ukraine's being destroyed.
Yep.
So even if they win, what are they going to have? They're not going to have a country left.
And there's no way they can win. There is absolutely no way they can win. The only people profiting by this war are the people selling weapons. That is it.
And also, you know, we're giving them money to supply, to buy some of those weapons. And how much of that money is being taken off as graft before it actually even goes to buying the weapons?
Yeah.
There is no accountability for any of the money that we're giving.
And when Congress voted on that, it was voted down.
It was voted down. And I'm going to compare this. How much money are we giving there versus how much money have we given to Western North Carolina and the I'm going to say, quote, war zone. Now, the war was against nature right there, but how much money went there?
Hey, speaking of Western North Carolina, you know, I had the Republican Women's Luncheon today, and the president said that she had a friend in Western North Carolina who said in order to get the $750, you have to apply online.
Online.
Okay, so you don't have electricity, your computer washed out down the road, so you got to apply online. On the first page, you have to use their forms. On the first page, you have to have the policy numbers for any homeowner's insurance you have. And if you have homeowner's insurance, you're not eligible for the $750.
But so they, again, if you've been a responsible person, you're not going to get the benefit. And didn't we see something very similar happen when Hawaii had that fire?
Yeah, Maui.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that it's pretty good evidence that money that could have been in reserve for these kinds of emergencies were spent on illegals. And the illegals, it was a report read this somewhere the other day that the average illegal coming in the country over the past 3 years gotten $2,100 or $2,500 each. And that doesn't include all the ones getting the free hotel things and so on. So like in New York City, sanctuary cities. And so we're robbing from the taxpayers and the citizens, and again, giving it to non-citizens. So,
where are we going?
Unhinged Bob Woodward calls for Biden to get the Nobel Peace Prize for Ukraine.
For the Peace Prize for Ukraine, because he has done such a good job at promoting that. Yes.
Yes, because he's promoting peace. Don't
Where's
you know?
The peace?
We don't have any peace. We're not liable to have any as long as the Democrats are in charge of that.
Can I ask where Bob Woodward's credibility is?
Well, that's
in the
all.
Toilet, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
The article says so-called journalist, Bob Woodward.
Pat, I think you had some business information on some businesses under Biden-Harris.
Yeah, I only have one today, TGI Friday. And I don't know if I mentioned last time, Big Lots is going under.
Yes.
Big Lots, yes.
That surprised me, but Big Lots said that because of inflation, they don't have any money to spend on decorations for their home or furniture and whatnot. So they're in a crunch.
And by the way, I was going to say, the actual last Kmart out on Long Island,
right.
Closed.
Yeah. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. TGI Fridays closes 12 stores in the U.S. in just 1 month. They are getting ready to file bankruptcy. So every week, it's another chain. It's a national chain, a national business that we've all heard of that are going under.
That's because they're price gouging.
That's right. They're price gouging.
They're
right.
Making so much money gouging.
That's what we've
That's evident.
Hey, did you hear when Knucklehead, i.e. Tim Walz, said that inflation was going down, and people said, we don't see that evidence in the grocery store. And he said, that's because what you see there is misinformation.
But well, didn't Walgreens close a lot of stores?
Yes,
also?
Yes.
Yeah, and I happened to be, I mentioned earlier, I was at the polls on Monday, and I was giving voter information out, and I happened to talk to this couple that had moved to North Carolina from California.
Oh, dear.
And they were business owners, and they said they had to close their business. They had been in this business for 20, 25 years. They just couldn't make it anymore with all the regulations and so on, which started me wondering, people look at Kamala and they look at Trump. Now, one advantage we have when we judge President Trump is we know what he did 4 years ago. When you look at Kamala, this people aren't so sure. But if you go back and do a comparison, California versus, say, for example, North Carolina, but you use North Carolina as a comparative basis. Because I think North Carolina has been run by the last few years anyway, run by the conservative Republicans. They've had a majority in the House and Senate. And if you look at some of the factors, for example, California's lost 500,000 residents in the last 2.5 years. 500,000 people have left. Now, what have they done? They've even put a bunch of illegals. Right now, 27% of the population in California are immigrants. They're not all illegal, but they're immigrants. North Carolina, it's 9%. If you look at the cost of housing, this shocked me when I saw this. The median price of a house in California is $807,000. The median price of a house just purchased. In North Carolina, it was $339,000. And then if you look like the state sales tax or the state income tax, in California is 13, almost 14%. North Carolina is 4.75%. So you see all these dramatic differences, and in spite of all the money that they're collecting, California has a budget deficit, okay, a debt, I should say, not just a deficit, it's a debt of $73 billion. That's just one state, $73 billion. North Carolina has a surplus, and they have a rainy day fund. So, you know, if you just look at, and what does Kamala represent? She represents the same philosophy and principles and values that created, I shouldn't say created, ruined California. California used to be a prosperous state, and now it's a place that no, if people are voting with their feet, they're leaving it. So if you have any question about what Kamala was going to do to this country, just take a look at California.
When you were doing that, I was curious. We moved here from Massachusetts. The median house, the median price of a house, single-family home, in Massachusetts in 2024 was $630,000. So some of these red states are pricing people out of living in their
state. You mean blue states.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
blue state.
Massachusetts is a red state.
What a
kidder.
That's not happening.
Folks, I may have to go back and edit just a little section of this show.
one of the things that I'm hearing now is people's expectations are too high, and they have to have smaller yards. Yeah. They have to have smaller houses and be happy with it.
Yeah, they want to put them into apartments. As for example, when Donald Trump left office, the average income you had to have was $75,000 to afford a home. That was just the general thing. Now it's up to $130,000 or $135,000. But the salaries haven't gone up that much.
Right.
So you have people that are being forced to be renters. And they will never, unless it gets reversed, they'll never be able to afford a home. And that's one of the basic elements of your developing some kind of wealth. Mm-hmm. You put your equity in your home. If you're paying rent all your life, you're going to be poor.
Mm-hmm. Well, equity as well as the pride of ownership is really something that when we see some of the public housing that was there, there is no pride of ownership. So folks will take care of their own house.
I'm going to jump in again on an old topic. I'm about 10 minutes lag with everybody else. It was on all these world wars and now this recent intelligence breach.
Yes.
We never touched on that, and I don't know the details, but the United States intelligence breach on Israel's plan to go back and retaliate on the significant incoming barrage on them, and the FBI is investigating that, which gives me, like, very huge confidence we'll get to the bottom of that.
Oh,
now,
sure.
And we question why Israel was not willing— has been not willing to share with us. And in fact, clearly they trusted us too much if we had that information.
Well, tied it to giving them weapons. They said, if you don't tell us what your plans are, we're not going to give you the weapons you need.
The senior Pentagon employee named as the leaker of the Israeli retaliatory strike plans to Iran was previously outed as an Iranian spy, but she was kept in her post anyway. Which is totally insane.
This is one of those DEI placements, I guess, within the government.
DUMB placements.
That's true.
So what else do we have right now?
Well, when we come back, what can we talk about?
We could talk about the... are we on air now?
Yes.
Yeah, we're still on the air.
We could talk about this Proposition 1. Have you heard about that in New York State? New York State has this constitutional amendment that's going to be on the ballot, will eliminate parents' right to determine whether their children are going to get transgender surgery, because that's all that treatment. And it will also mandate or prevent the schools from stopping men, transitioning men, boys, playing in women's sports. So both of those things are in that proposition. So I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm glad it's not on our ballot, North Carolina.
Yeah. Okay. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Oh, no.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We have a quick fill-in. Go ahead, Pat.
We have a Fannygate report.
All right.
For those of you who don't remember what Fannygate is, Fannie Willis is the elected county district attorney for Fulton County, Georgia. She's the one that filed a RICO case against Trump and 18 co-defendants. She's the one that hired her boyfriend, Nathan Wade, to lead the case.
And she gave him a good salary, too.
Yeah, and she paid him $700,000 over a short period of time until he had to resign as a result of a conflict of interest. They were accused by one of the defendants of financial impropriety where she was paying him $700,000 and he was using that money to take her on expensive vacations. The judge ruled one of them had to resign, so he resigned. Well, she is being investigated by Congress, by a committee up there, Republicans, for misusing a federal grant that her office was given to start a gang prevention task force, which she never started, because the question is, where did she get $700,000 in tax money to pay this fraud? To lead, realizing that his previous prosecuting experience was traffic tickets. At any rate, she has been subpoenaed. She told him she's not coming. And she told her boyfriend, Nathan, not to go either. She did that publicly. She told him there was information about the case that the feds didn't have any right to know and for him not to tell them anything. And so he first started off by hiding from the process servers, and finally he popped up and let them serve him with the subpoena. Well, he's been up there, and he testified in a closed-door session for 4.5 hours. Well, now it's trickling out what he testified to. And Mr. Wade has a problem with his memory because he admits that there were several meetings with the White House legal counsel over this case, but he can't remember anything that was said. Can't remember who he met with specifically, can't remember what was said. You can see his bills, 8 hours for a White House counsel meeting, $2,000. You can see his bills.
And you know he didn't take any notes.
Right. Well, his attorney said the reason he can't remember anything is because she has all the documents. He doesn't have any of his notes. So he can't remember anything.
And I do remember, I'm going back to Rush Limbaugh, where he sang the song for Hillary Clinton, "I Can't Remember, My Mind's in a Blender." I guess we're back to that.
Yeah. Well, he had the same problem when they were testifying over the impropriety. He couldn't remember.
Now, is she being charged with contempt of of Congress?
They want to investigate her. And if she doesn't comply with the subpoena, then she'll be in contempt of Congress if they vote on that.
I did some research this morning on something else I was looking at. And in recent years, there have been 10 people charged with contempt of Congress. The only two that it has been followed by an indictment were Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon.
Republicans.
And the prison sentence, not just the
indictment. Yeah, and Eric Holder never paid a price. He was charged with contempt.
That's the Republicans' fault.
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
But that's not equal justice when the only two people who went to jail for it were aligned with President Trump.
I know, but we've talked about rhino Republicans forever, and they make themselves toothless. They have powers to deal with this. They don't avail themselves of it. The Democrats do. Steve Bannon asked for early release. He was denied.
Yes.
So he won't be out until October 29th. The Democrats are willing to put Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon in prison for contempt of court or contempt of Congress. And so she's could be looking at the same thing. Wade went up there and testified, so I guess he and his faulty memory are free to go. It's just a travesty.
Well, the thing that is aggravating about the Steve Bannon case is that he was eligible for early release, and they turned it down.
Well, the article I read said he wasn't eligible because he only had 10 days before his release date.
And they couldn't get the paperwork done in time.
The home confinement program that he wanted to be considered for would not take anybody that had less than 30 days.
Okay. But it says he had earned enough first step time credits to be eligible for home confinement.
By the way, first step law was Trump's. Did you know that? That was something he did while he was in there.
I didn't know that. Interesting. Okay, I want to mention something that we've talked about briefly in the past about windmill blades. And we had the windmill blade failures up off
Nantucket.
And the little mussels eating the fiberglass, which is going to get into our food supply.
Well, as far as I know, if an oyster eats the fiberglass, that oyster is coming with. When we eat the oyster, we're getting
the fiberglass. Vineyard Wind will be removing more blades because of the inspections that they conducted after the blade failure. And the manufacturer is GE Vernova, that it intends to remove some of the blades after re-examining them. And they've done ultrasound images of the blades with crawler drones. I don't even know what that is. But there's a problem with offshore wind. There's a problem with onshore wind, too. But there's a problem with offshore wind in terms of killing whales and dolphins when they're putting it in.
The construction of the footing, yeah, when they're doing the pounding, the constructions of the footings apparently is killing the whales. There's apparently they've logged 5,000 whales killed.
Because it interferes with their sonar.
Their sonar.
And I'm not
talking just the Northeast Coast. I'm talking
worldwide.
Where they've done that.
And when the blades fail, and the blades do fail, they don't decompose. In other words, if you put them in a landfill, they're not going to decompose. And they have a lifespan. I don't know what the lifespan is. It's not very long. It's not more than 10 years, if that. So you have landfills filling up with windmill blades. What are we going to do?
And these are not small pieces of material. These take two lengths of a semi to haul them. I've seen many come from the port. up through yes. Havelock. They're huge.
And the ones that are offshore, their overall height is somewhere around 900 feet, which means the blades are probably 400 feet in each direction above the turbine and below the turbine, and then 100 feet off of the ground. So that's 900 feet, and a 400-foot blade swinging around is how do you maintain structure?
Anybody know how
like
long a football field is?
Yeah, 300 feet. 100 yards is 300 feet. Right.
So that's 3 football fields long?
Well, it'd be half that.
The height, the total height is 3 football fields.
Okay, and the blade would be a football field and a half.
Yeah, football field and the 2 end zones, okay.
I'm just trying to put it into something that I can visualize.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, if we had any kind of honest media, you would hear more of this, but you don't. I mean, you really have to search for it to find out these negative effects. All they do is talk about how great it is and so on. They never talk about the downside of it, so you don't get the whole picture.
How about the birds they kill?
The birds and the whales.
And the underlying costs, yeah.
You can't think of a stupider thing to do, in my opinion, than to put your energy resource generating capacity offshore. It's so vulnerable to attack. I mean, they have these drones that can go all over now. They could take out all our electricity, shut the whole country down, the more we're dependent on those things. And there's no security there.
And it's not maintainable. I mean, it's out there. You can't do a lot of preventive, predictive maintenance on it. I mean, I'm sure there's some vibration sensors and things like that to let them know some things are going astray. But it's not a maintainable environment with ease.
Very good. Alan, you wanted to pop in with a...
Yeah, I just wanted to mention one thing, and this may be true different both for the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, I don't know, but there is a watch party scheduled at the Mayola Center, and this is sponsored by the Republican Party, and again, there may be Democratic Party, we're going on somewhere else, but they're going to have a number of people running for office. They're going to have Congressman Murphy's going to be there, and they're going to have the state senators. So it's going to be obviously on Election Day, which is November 5th. It's going to start at 6:30, and it's supposed to go till 10:30, or I guess until they get some results back. That's going to be the question. There was a time by 10:30 at night you'd know the results of the election. That's no longer true. But anyway, if you're interested in it, it's the Mayola Center, Tuesday, November 5th at 6:30 p.m.
Very good. One other thing. I just want to bring in one other quick thing because we were talking about a little earlier. The Tribune, a newspaper out in San Luis Obispo in California, is investigating 3 churches over a questionnaire that was sent to candidates for city council and school boards. Is a church allowed to ask questions of candidates and publish it within the church? Well, are they allowed to?
They should be.
They should be.
I think if you look at it historically, up until 1954, there were no restrictions on what churches could talk about from the pulpit. There was free speech in churches. So if they wanted to advocate for a certain candidate or talk about different issues, they had the freedom to do that. Then what happened was Lyndon Johnson added to an amendment to some law that had to do with the IRS taxes and so on that could take away the tax-free status of a church if they talked about anything political, and particularly if they advocated for a political candidate. Now, the interesting thing is there's never been a church that's lost it in the entire time. But the churches are caving in, a lot of them. I'm not saying they're all, but a lot of them are just caving in, and they avoid the topic like, a hot potato.
Yeah.
It's interesting that in American history, the churches played a vital role in both the American Revolution and the Civil War in terms of talking about just war theory. So the church has played a role in the political life of America from its founding.
Folks, we're going to end the show on that. And again, we're going to ask you to go out and vote and make your points heard. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.